Good July the 4th weekend. I guess that's not the 4th yet. I guess, when is the 4th? Tuesday. But a lot of folks are celebrating this weekend, so we want to celebrate with them. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit self-conscious this morning. I went and prayed with my pastor friends this morning, and one of my preacher friends said to me, said, Pastor John, you need to start buying your clothes in the big and tall store. And I was like, why? He said, well, I'm afraid you're going to lift your arms up. And so I apologize already if this shirt seems a little bit too short. I didn't think so, but praise the Lord. Anyway, he really made me. I said, dude, I'm not going back home before church. And I said, now you got me. I called Arlene. She's bringing me another outfit, but we'll do our best this morning. It's a brand new shirt. It's not too short, is it? Okay, I don't know. But I said, boy, you know how to make a guy feel self-conscious this morning. Oh my. Hey, listen, folks, I hope that you are enjoying our study through the Gospel of Mark. We have two more weeks after today, two more Sundays after today, and then we'll be finished. But this has been such a wonderful time. And if you remember, we've been kind of highlighting different episodes in the life of Jesus and people that he encountered, and how he treated them, and how he encouraged his disciples to treat them, and what he did and what he didn't do, and things like that. And today, really interesting because, just like Jesus, not leaving any stone unturned, today he encounters children. So let me ask you, if you were to finish this sentence, children are, you know, what kind of things could we put in the blank here, okay? Matter of fact, let's see how many of them that you can come up with. Just shout it out. Children are precious. That's obviously a grandparent who said that. Who said that? Yep, see there? Children are precious. It's interesting I'm doing this today because we've had our grandkids for two weekends in a row. They're not so precious now. But what, Art, would you say so? What'd you say? Okay. What else? Huh? Children are exhausting. Okay, that's a good one. Now that's a parent, right? So yeah, you could, huh? Children are unpredictable. Well, isn't that the truth? Yeah, they sure are. My friend told me one time that she was potty training her little daughter, and they were in a Sears department store years ago in a mall. And the little girl kept saying she needed to go to the bathroom. And my friend said, honey, just wait just a minute. Finally, she looked up and she was sitting on a display toilet in the window. How could you discipline her after that? Yeah, so that's a true story. What else? Children are fun. Yes, they are fun. Yeah. My grandson has been working on this big Lego set. There was 51 bags of blocks in this set, and he's on bag 48, so he's almost done with it. And it's been a lot of fun watching him do that. he don't want me to help him anymore. He's like, I don't need your help, Pappy. Just watch. Yeah. What else? Children are our future. Okay. Yeah, that's for sure. A little scary to think about that sometimes, but, huh? What? Children are a blessing. Oh, I got a tickle in my throat. Well, they are all those things and more. The Bible says that blessed is the man, talking about having multiple children, and he described it as an arrow. And having a quiver, and a quiver is that little pack that you carry your arrows in. It says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And the analogy of an arrow is that, you know what you do? You take an arrow and you aim it, and then you let it fly. But once you let it fly, there's no bringing it back. And there's a lot of truth in that, in how we deal with our children. But it's interesting to note and to notice Jesus and how he dealt with kids. We're going to look at it here in Mark chapter 10. Take a look at verse number 13 in Mark chapter 10. He says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. Isn't this interesting? It's the same thing the disciples did back when they said, hey, let's send these people away because it's time for them to eat and we don't have anything to feed them. Let's send them on their way. You know, Jesus just responded to people and their situation and their need, not based on what was convenient for him. That's what the disciples did, but on what was needed from the people. Said, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. I think it's interesting to note that Jesus dealt with these kids, and as I talk, I'm going to go back here and get my Kleenex, with kindness and love. Kindness and love. Do we have anything up there? Oh, thank you. Somebody tell you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Kindness and love. But this was very much different in how the people looked at kids, because you know it really is easy to think that kids are nothing more than a nuisance, right? That kids are nothing more than, you know, in the way. That I read this past week, maybe you saw it. There was a news article out there that somewhere overseas, that a little child went to his first karate practice and he was beaten to death by the instructor. Isn't that just awful? And you know what? And rightly so, you know, when we encounter someone that hurts a child, we don't think that there's anybody more despicable than that. That, you know what, if you harm a child or hurt a child, that, you know, that, matter of fact, Dante, in his hell, he had a very special place for people that, that would do, such a thing. And we think that way today. But let me tell you something, folks. When we look at Jesus, we can never be more like him than when we treat the very young the same way that he treated them. Because so often today in our time, it's just kind of amazing how kids are raised today. Let me tell you something, folks. Our children need us. Our children need us. I saw a meme the other day, and it was from a female, and it just simply said, thanks, Mom and Dad, for letting me go through my tomboy stage without telling me that I needed to become a boy. We live in a very different time now where children are given so much freedom, so much earlier in life. You know, I was even out with my daughter and my grandkids a couple of weeks ago, and I corrected my grandson's manners at the table, and his mother corrected me. And Arlene, well, I didn't know her legs were that long under the table. She was like, you know, but, you know, that's the time we live, right? I mean, but listen, we want the very best for our kids. And the greatest thing that you can give your children is a faith. One of the most troubling things that I see today is children who who are active in the kingdom of God or in a faith community as they're growing up. But then when they get old enough and they're out on their own or they go to college, they don't carry on that faith because that faith was something that they kind of got vicariously through their parents or through their grandparents or something like that. And listen, you're not doing your children any favors by letting somebody take them to church or dropping them off at church. As my friend told me this morning, he said he's been counseling this young man for years, and he's telling him, says, your children need to be in church, and don't send them to church. You take them to church. You go with them. Because the faith that we want to teach to our children is the very faith that we should have ourselves. When you read this passage of Scripture, I think it's so beautiful. It said, let the little children come to me. You know, children have that desire. You talk to people, you talk to children about Jesus, they'll believe you. They'll believe you. And they will tenderly love Jesus. And he says, don't hinder them. Don't put any obstacles in front of them. Don't make them jump through any hoops. I've encountered parents over the years who have disciplined their children by not letting them go to Christian activities. And I've always thought, boy, that just seems like a losing hand to approach things that way. It says the kingdom of God belongs to them. I think what he's talking about there is their simple faith, the simple way that they believe, the ease with which they believe. And then he says, I tell you, no one will receive the kingdom unless you do it like a little child. In other words, you have to humble yourselves and believe as a little child. And then in verse 16, and we'll look at this a little closer later, but he says, he took the children in his arms, he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. Isn't that the most beautiful picture that you could ever imagine? Jesus Christ holding in his arms a little child and him blessing them. But that can't happen if we don't allow and help our children get close to Jesus. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to talk to you, and I've actually looked these up in the last couple of weeks, and I've come up, well, there's a lot more than this, but I've pared it down to five biblical truths. Five biblical truths about children and how we should interact with them. First one. We got to know that children, that God knows them before they were ever born. You know, the Bible talks about that. You know, he talks about how you knew me in my mother's womb. How before my days ever began, you had a plan for me. The psalmist talks about our number of days, and he knows the number of our days before we are ever even conceived or before we're ever even born. You know, I remember a long time ago when I read these passages about how Jesus knew us in our mother's womb, how he has a plan for us way back then. That settled the question for me. As far as when does life begin? And you know what, folks? We have to recognize that if we believe this, this makes every child that has ever been conceived or ever been born, that they are special, that Jesus knows them, that he knows their life before it ever begins. I remember one time Arlene sang a song about it. She hoped that there was a rocking chair in heaven because that's where we can rock children that lost their life in this world before it ever began. Hope there's a rocking chair in heaven. When you look at children, I think that we should look at kids and realize that God has a plan for them. I think I've told you the story of how when I was first in ministry a long time ago, before we even had any children, Arlene and I ran into my 8th grade English teacher at a restaurant in my hometown, and she was absolutely flabbergasted that I was a preacher. See, she was thinking back when I was a little kid, how difficult I was, how ornery I was, I was one of those kids. I can't tell you. I think my teachers actually had a rubber stamp that they passed from grade to grade that said talks too much. Chew. Every marking period, talks too much, talks too much, talks too much. Little did they know that talking too much was going to be my profession one day. But you know what? I want you to look around at every little ornery kid that just gets on your nerves and bothers you. I just want you to remind yourself that God has a plan for that little child. And we need to help those children find that plan. And the first thing is that we need to help them find salvation. That children need to understand that they will become an age where they need to accept Jesus Christ and profess faith on their own. And we need to be a part of that. That leads me to number two. The second biblical truth is that we need to realize that they are part of the faith community. It's really interesting this morning. I was talking to Derek, the pastor over at the Vineyard Church, he and his wife, Jerry, and he said that the last couple of weeks that they've been teaching their little children, little elementary school children, about prayer. And specifically, several of the kids talked about that they knew someone in their family or a friend who had had a hard time conceiving. And today in their service there at the Vineyard, they're going to have little children praying with different people in the church that has dealt with infertility. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful that we would allow things like that? You know, like my little granddaughter said the other day, we were getting ready to eat, and Finley said, I'll pray. And I said, okay. She prayed. She said, God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food, and by his hands we are fed, and give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. And God bless Pappy. Right? And I knew that last part was an important part. But listen, they're part of our faith community. They're not just hangers on. They're not just these little things that demand so much attention out there on the edge. They are an integral part. And the Bible over and over and over again says, teach your children, teach your children. When you get into the promised land, take these stones out of the middle of the river and pile them up on the shore. And when your children see them, you tell them about how God brought you out of Egypt, brought you through the wilderness journey, and brought you into this land that he has given to you. He says in Deuteronomy, you know, teach them in the morning, teach them at noon, teach them in the evening, teach them when you lay them down at night, and when you get up in the morning, talk to them, tell them the decrees of God, let them know about his precepts and about his commandments. Children need to be taught these things. And here's the thing, you parents and grandparents and great-grandparents are here this morning, who are you relying on to teach these children the ways of God? It's not enough just to bring them to a Sunday school. That's why the Bible talks about, and this actually brings me to another point here, and I'm going to do them out of order just because of the way I'm doing this, but parents are responsible for their education. You know, the Bible is so plain in that. If you look at Psalm number 78, here's what it says in verse number 5. Listen to this. He says, he decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law of Israel, which he commanded for ancestors to teach to their children, so the next generation would know them. Even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. They would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits are not faithful to him. Folks, if our children are going to have this kind of background in faith, it's going to be because, not because you take them to church, not because they have a good youth minister, a good children's minister, not because they go to VBS in the summertime. It'll be because you reinforce those biblical truths every day that you live. Okay, now let's jump back to number three. Number three is nurture. We have to make sure that we nurture the children that God has given to us. God knows them before they're born. They're a huge part of the faith community. The parents are responsible for their education. But folks, everyone is involved in their nurture. Now let me just pause here for a second and just tell you. Gosh, we have some beautiful children here. I encountered some of these kids just last week when I took my grandkids to the Slinky Action Zone. You ever been there, grandparents? Don't go. I'm just kidding. We had a ball, but several of our children from church here, First Church, were there at a birthday party for somebody else. And I was just observing. And, man, they were just wonderful. You know, I was taken back. And then I realized, I'm noticing these children and who they are. In reality, it's just giving a big kudos to who's raising them, who their parents are, who their grandparents are. And I just saw these children, aside from being with their parents, I saw them interacting with their friends, and it was just beautiful. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been down at Saturate Altoona each Sunday evening. It finished up last Sunday night, but every week I've looked and I've noticed a lot of our kids, your kids, and you know your grandchildren, and it's just been amazing. It is amazing what kids become when parents teach them about God, when they model for them faith in Christ, and when they nurture them with the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here. I can contrast this. A few years ago, Arlene and I were on vacation. We were in a wave pool. You know, one of those wave pools that, you know, like down at Del Grosso's, out, what's it called, something splash or whatever, where it waves. We were in one of those. And I was down in the deeper end and swimming, and they turned the wave thing on. And this one little boy, he was struggling. He was struggling. And I reached out and I grabbed him and I pulled him over to the ladder, and he climbs up the ladder, and I climb up the ladder, and he barked these curse words at me. And I said, "Well, son, I'm gonna call your dad. Is he here?" And the little boy, honest to goodness, is what he said. He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll go get my dad. He will curse you out too." And then he jumped back in the water. And I said, "Well, drown, you little whippersnapper." But he wanted to go get his dad. He said, "My dad will talk to you just like I'm talking to you." When in reality, what that means is that he talks to people just like he's been taught to talk to people by his father. You see, Jesus brings these children to himself. And he's just reiterating this fact of how important it is that we know that we are to nurture children. He says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them." How many times have you ever heard a little kid express their desire to go to church, desire to go to Sunday school, desire to be involved in VBS? "Mom, Dad, take me back to youth meeting. Take me this, take me to that." And the parents don't accommodate them. Parents, that's who Jesus is talking. He says, don't put obstacles in front of your children in them coming to me. Make it as easy as they can, easy as possible, for them to have faith in me. You know, and I've actually, we've talked about this in with our staff and leadership and things. We need to understand that our place as a church is to help these children come to salvation. You know, children are so secure when they're little. But listen, folks, when they get to be teens and older, you know, they're making choices on their own, and we need to make sure that they understand what faith in Jesus Christ looks like and what that means in the kingdom. Which leads me to the last thing here, this last truth, number five. We all can become children of God. Now let me address a misnomer here. There's a lot of people out there, and there's this whole way of thinking in our culture today that says we're all children of God. And the Bible really doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that we're all created in the image of God, but that we all have, as John says, and we all have the power to become children of God. We're all made in His image. He died for us all. But we have the power to become children of God by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. As He says in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse number 5, He says He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. See, there's a difference between being created in His image and being a child of God. But folks, we all can become children of God. And we can all help children become children of God. And we can all help children realize how important Jesus is to their life. But how can they make Jesus the most important thing in their life if He's not the most important thing in our life, in your life? If children see something else at the top of your food chain, then they realize that that is the most important thing to you. And we have to make sure that we teach them and show them and demonstrate to them how important faith in Jesus really is. Because it says in verse 16, he took the children in His arms. He placed their hands on them and blessed them. But here's the point of that passage at the end. Those were all children that were in the vicinity of Jesus. In other words, these children had to have help getting in the vicinity of Jesus. And then they decided they wanted to climb up on Jesus' lap or sit on Jesus' lap. And He said, don't hinder them, let them come. And he fills His lap full of children, and He loved them with kindness, and He loved them, and He blessed them. And everybody around there saw that. But you know what? They had to be helped to get in the vicinity of Jesus. You know, I realized how important this was recently. Isn't it amazing? Does anybody here have a dog that teaches them things? Am I the only one? Am I the only one that literally has a dog that teaches you lessons? Here was the lesson that my buddy Henry taught me recently. Sitting in the living room, it's kind of late one night, and this dog would not leave me alone. He was jumping up on the couch, and you know, I'm sitting there watching TV. He'd jump up on the couch right here, and he'd just stare at me. He's looking at me. Say, Henry, what's wrong with you? Get down. I'd be down, and he'd be back. And he was just around me. He was just on and on. And you know what? It took me about 2 hours to realize that he hadn't been fed. Now, this poor pooch usually eats around 5:30, the latest 6 o'clock. And it was like 10 p.m. You know what, and I don't know if you know this or not, dogs can't talk. All they can do is look at you, or maybe bark at you, or try to get your attention some way. But it was like, you know, I thought, oh, Henry, I am so sorry. And I got up and I went in and I fed him his food and he ate his food. And as he walked outside to do that part of it, he looked at me sitting on the couch and he just said, you big dummy. But you know what, folks? Our children are dependent on us like that. You know, our children get to a point where they can feed themselves. They can even take care of themselves. They can fix themselves a sandwich. But there's that crucial time in life where they depend on you for everything. And if we don't offer and to give everything that they need, they'll go without, and they'll be negatively affected because of that. I mean, I've read all these studies about, you know what, if children don't get enough affection, that they'll grow up with this idea that's not what they receive from other people. And you know, and then you know what, if you don't feed a child and if you don't take care of a child, you know, that's neglect, and there's all kinds of terrible examples, you know, that way. And folks, listen, our children are in total dependence on us for their faith in Jesus Christ, because it's our job to get them close to Jesus so they can climb up on his lap. But if we don't get them around Jesus, if they don't hear the stories of Jesus, if you don't read the word to them, all those kinds of things, they'll get to a point where they don't think they need Jesus because you've never taught them that they do. So folks, when you come to this part of the scripture, just think about this. Jesus has dealt with people possessed by demons. Jesus has dealt with people that have been lame. Jesus has dealt with people that have been hungry. Jesus has dealt with so many people with so many needs. But here Jesus teaches us that children need us to get them close to Jesus so they can know just how wonderful he is. Let's pray. Dear Lord, with every eye closed and every head bowed, Father, I just encourage and even plead with every person in this room to make a commitment, Lord, to help the children in their lives to get close to you. God, I pray that they'll see in each of us someone that loves you more than anything else in this world. And God, I pray that we won't be like the disciples who thought the children were a nuisance, they were in the way, they were causing a problem. Yet Jesus rebuked them for their thinking. He says, oh, no, these children are exactly what the kingdom of God is like. And if you don't have a heart like them, you'll never enter the kingdom. So, Father, I pray that we'll get that message. But that, Lord, we'll also get the message of how important we are in the lives of children. That mostly children won't find out how great Jesus is without us showing them and taking them and illustrating to them how wonderful you are. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that. God, some of us, our kids are already gone. But yet, Lord, we have grandkids. Some of us, Lord, we're really not around children very much, but we have neighbors. We have friends. Lord, I thank you for all the beautiful examples that we have in this church of parents and grandparents that are leading and modeling so well in the lives of our kids. And God, help us to do a better and better job each and every day as we love them as you've called us to. Father, teach us these biblical truths, and may we give ourselves, Lord, to a lifetime of teaching these and training others to love kids, Lord, as we see you love them here. May it be so, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.